and welcome to Anatomy of an Agency with me, Katie Traxton. This podcast shares the experiences of people in the public eye who work in the business of sport and entertainment. Whether you're looking to work with talent or for your own representation, we hope to give you honest insight into how things work. The good, the bad, and everything else in between. This is our second episode speaking to Mark Ormrod, the first triple amputee to survive a conflict in Afghanistan, our most decorated ever Invictus athlete, an award-winning author, and father of three. Mark gives us more insight into his journey in the public eye. So interestingly, in order for an agent to generally look twice at somebody who says, I would like you to represent me. Mm. The person asking for representation has to have achieved something or have some kind of profile beyond their way to requiring representation. Mm-hmm. So there was an element of you needing to be self-starting and make that name for yourself before mm-hmm. you could even reach out for anyone. Can you chat a little bit about the work you've done for charity that got you on the BBC again and again and again, that which got you already speaking at movie premieres before you really had any idea how to navigate the system, how you just went from sitting at home going, I've got something to offer, to having enough of a profile that someone would step up and go, yeah, I'll help?
Yeah, I think some of it was just by accident. You know, when I left the military, a lot of my identity was wrapped up in my physicality. And once I had enough knowledge about prosthetics and the different prosthetics you can use for different things like swimming, running, walking, cycling, all these different things, I just started to try. I wanted to selfishly do these events to push myself physically and see what I could do. And because I've been supported by so many charities from the moment I woke up in hospital, right through to now, and it'd be way beyond me passing, you know, for my family. I wanted to give something back, so I started kind of combining the two as fundraisers. Now, the media kind of took an interest in that because I was the UK's first triple amputee, and I didn't really, it's bizarre. I didn't really see the big deal because, again, the world that I come from, this is just normal stuff, right? You see something and you're like, I want to do that, and you go out and do it. And yeah, it's hard, but it's like, okay, cool, so what? And it was another part of the civilian world that I didn't really understand, was how it's taken me a long time to be able to sit back and reflect and go, actually, that was pretty cool. But it started to build momentum, we started to raise money, and then I started to get more and more comfortable from the talks, being on camera, doing stuff like this. And it just evolved and, you know, got bigger and the challenges got crazier. And then I met more people, which is why I got to speak at like the Batman versus Superman premiere. I got to meet celebrities and, you know, all these guys and became friends with them. And that was another world that opened up and more opportunities came out of that. And the fascinating thing for me is that when I was discharged on the 1st of July 2010, in the run-up to being discharged, I did a couple of phone interviews. And what they do is they take all of your CV and your skills and everything that you've got, and they will recommend jobs for you. The first job that got recommended for me was to be a labourer on a building site. And when I did the interview, I was in a wheelchair. And then the second job was to be a checkout assistant at Sainsbury's in Plymouth, where I live. So I thought, they were my only options. I thought, as a triple amputee in the civilian world, that's it, or live on benefits. I had no clue that all these options were open. And you know, I'm grateful for it. We live in a day and age now where, you know, I think companies actively search out people like me, you know, disabled people, to stand in front of their staff or to be on their TV adverts or to represent their brands or products, whatever it is. And you know me, I'm always bugging you to kick doors down for people and try and represent these brands that I feel I align with, or like our values are similar, and then it fits with who I am and the kind of message I want to spread. And it's exciting. As a disabled person, it's exciting to see how much opportunity there is out there. You know, anyone that's watching or listening to this, that's living with a disability, that thinks the opposite of that, you couldn't be further from the truth. There is a world of opportunity out there. You've just got to kind of figure out what it is that you want to do, kind of develop a plan, and then get yourself a pit bull like Katie to go kick the doors down for you.
We'll come back to disability in 2 seconds, but you mentioned celebrity friends.
Mm-hmm.
I know integrity is really important to you. How do you navigate the line between treating celebrities who are very high profile, mm-hmm. but your real friends,
mm-hmm.
the same way you would your friends who don't have any profile, and also the world of opportunity that they can create and that they almost automatically create by being in your life?
Mm-hmm. You just treat them like every other friend. You know, I mean, you respect their privacy, you treat them with respect. After a while, you can gauge their banter levels and what they're comfortable with and what they're not comfortable with. And, you know, just like I would treat any other friend, I wouldn't take the mick and ask them for things. You know, and then I think they respect that because they live in these crazy worlds where I'm sure there are tons of demands on their time and their attention. And I think when, you know, you hang out, they want to forget all that and just chill and be a normal person. And, you know, that's all we all want. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I do get these opportunities to go to these things. And when I do go to them, in my mind, I think, okay, they've been kind enough to invite me. I'm representing them. I have to act accordingly. I can't go, you know, sinking 10 pints, you know I don't drink anyway, you know, and stumbling all over a red carpet and throwing up on a reporter's shoes. You just, you know, you turn up. I'm not a particularly good dresser, but I turn up looking smart and I speak well, I hope, and I don't act a fool. I go and do what they've been kind enough to invite me to do and then I leave, you know, just like any grown up would.
So let's go back to disability. So you said there's more opportunity than you might imagine, mm-hmm. for a member of the disabled community who's got something to share, who wants to help change the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things you can do out there. But in the execution of those things, when mm-hmm. it actually comes to doing them,
mm-hmm.
could your life be made easier? And if so, how?
Disability is a difficult thing to navigate. So I'm a triple amputee. I have other friends who are triple amputees. And on paper, someone who's not familiar with disability would look at that and go, oh, they're all exactly the same. So we'll accommodate them all exactly the same. The truth is, if there's three of us that are missing three limbs, and say we're all going to be extras on a TV show, our needs and requirements could be completely different. So it is difficult. I'm quite low maintenance. You know, as long as I've got a bottle of water, a sandwich, and somewhere I can go to sleep for 5 minutes.
Yeah, nice Coke with ice.
Coke with ice. I'm happy. You know, that's it. Because I'm a full-time prosthetic user, I can go up and down stairs. I can use regular toilets. I don't need adaptive bathrooms in hotels or anything like that. I move around without my legs on in a hotel room on my bum, jump in the bath, jump on the toilet. But that's the life that I've chosen to live. Other people, we've had this conversation before, I always, when I go around the world, look at things from a wheelchair user's perspective and think, oh, that would be a challenge if you had a wheelchair. You go into some places and they say they're disabled friendly and you walk in and go, oh, can I use the lift? Yeah, it's over there, up 5 stairs. That's no good. Why is your lift up 5 stairs? How is someone in a wheelchair supposed to get up those 5 stairs? So it is difficult. But like I said, I've chosen to live my life a certain way where I hope I'm low maintenance and I just get on with stuff. You know, you just, the one thing I will say about all these opportunities that are out there as a disabled person is it doesn't mean you don't have to work as hard as an able-bodied person. You can't expect to turn up and go, oh, I'm disabled. They should all run around after me, look after me. You still got to go there with the mindset of I'm going to put in as much work, be as professional, have as high standards as I would have had I not been disabled. Because that's how you get more jobs, you know?
As a veteran, and you see similar patterns with athletes, many of whom are in the public eye already and therefore transitioning into a similar career to the one mm-hmm. that you are, and occasionally with emergency service workers, mm-hmm. people who've been in a really structured environment, how has it been kind of learning
just to operate in the civilian world, and then layering onto that, needing to operate in the sometimes superficial world of entertainment.
Yeah. I can only speak on behalf of the veteran community, but I think elite athletes, emergency services, very similar, especially if you've been doing it from a young age. The transition into the civilian world is very difficult. The culture is different, the community is slightly different, and you do have to adjust, and that can be quite uncomfortable. Like, if you behave the way in the civilian world, the way that sometimes we used to behave in the military, you know, if we were decompressing after tours or whatever it was, that you wouldn't survive very long. And I think it's one of the things that people struggle with the most. What I think you need to do is be very proactive in managing your career. And 12 months out from finishing and transitioning from whatever it is into the civilian world, you need to plan, know what you want to do, genuinely know what you want to do, not just do what's going to pay the bills. Find out what you're passionate about, what you want to pursue, and then research how to make that happen. You know, I was lucky in the way that I transitioned out the second time, because the first time I left the military after 5 years, I failed massively, which is why I went back in.
Whereas the second time you just got blown up.
Yeah, but I got a bit of a pension, so I had a bit of a safety net. But I would have definitely done a lot more research, and this is the hard thing as well, is ignoring people that, you know, maybe you've got something that you're passionate about. Like, if I wanted to be a hairdresser, right, coming from the Royal Marines, I'm sure I would have got a bit of stick about that. But it's having the courage to go, I don't care. Like, I want to do this, and this is what I'm doing. And then research that, reaching out, networking, doing all that kind of stuff. But that being said, more in, I think, the elite athlete world than either of the emergency service or the veteran world, there's this world of presenting, speaking, acting, whatever it is. You need to do what I didn't do and figure out what an agent is, what they do for you, and then start reaching out. And maybe even before you've done that transition, start dabbling in that world and doing a little talk here and a presenting job there, a podcast here, to get a feel for it, to see if you actually want to do it. And then when you leave, you can go full steam ahead into that career. And I think that's how a lot of these people that do transition into that world are successful at it.
You gave the example of pushing a tweet out into the universe to try and find an agent. But other than that, how important has social media been for you on that journey?
Social media, you have to do it. So you can't really get away with not doing social media nowadays. It was very difficult for me in the beginning to use social media. Because again, I come from a culture where it doesn't matter what you do, you don't brag about it, you know. And so when you go on social media going, just did a talk for 600 people at this conference, for years I was kind of like, I don't really want to push that out there because it seems like I'm bragging. But you kind of have to just get over yourself as soon as you can and be like, I'm not bragging, I'm just kind of sharing.
You're making the world aware.
Yeah, and you have to. This is the thing as well that I've found out in the civilian world and doing what I'm doing, you have to make people aware of who you are, what you do, what you're about, what you're up to, what your goals are, what you've just accomplished, and just get it all out there. Not just for yourself, in terms of, oh, if I put this out there, someone might see that and then I might get another job. But, you know, in my world, I get, over the last 16 years that I've been on social media, thousands of people DMing me, messaging me, emailing me. Somehow they get my phone number and text me. I don't know how to do that, but strangers text me and say, like, some of the fundraising stuff. You know, I saw that and I've been suffering with, you know, this problem, that problem, and that made me get out of the house and go and do this, and now I've just done a 10K swim. And, you know, so, and that feels good, that, to know that you can have that positive influence on people that you've never even met, to get them out of their dark place and, you know, go on and pursue what they want to pursue.
You post every day, at least once a day, on about 5 different channels. How do you cope with the fact that despite you raising money, showing your family, talking about disability advocacy, you'll still get someone comment on one of your posts, yo, I guess bro don't need to train legs.
Yeah, I know. It used to annoy me, not upset me, but annoy me. And what I mean by annoy me is made me want to get in my car and drive and find the person and, you know, see who was tougher, whatever. But now, about 8 months ago, I think it was, I don't know what happened, I just kind of flicked the switch mentally. And I genuinely just don't care. I don't care if people criticize me. I don't care if they think they're being funny with me. You know, I just don't care anymore. I'm so like out of my field of view now. I'm just, this is what I'm focusing on. My family, my career, my future. You know, go back to your mum's basement on your keyboard, you know, eating your donuts, whatever you're doing, and keep criticizing other people while I'm gonna be going this way and just building a life.
One of my favorite posts that you've ever done was when you just did a piece to camera saying, just want to say to all the trolls out there, thank you for increasing my engagement rate.
Yeah, and that's it as well, because that's the irony of it. Like, they'll jump on there and argue with you and tell you your opinion's wrong and, you know, criticize what you're doing. All the while, they're just boosting your content and you're achieving your goal. And, you know, I have fun with them now. I you know, make fun of these guys back and, you know, they run off in the end and get upset and I'm like, who won? Because I've got, you know, better engagement and bigger reach.
That was Mark Ormerod. Thanks so much to Mark for giving up his time to speak to us. If you want to hear more from Mark or from other members of our roster, please keep listening and please also get in touch on our social channel to let us know what you think @goodvibesonlytalent. Speak to you soon.